Thank you for joining us today. We are Inspiring Better Business, and we are here with the mission to help you start, grow, and fix your business. In our previous lessons, we introduced the law of record keeping. For most of us entrepreneurs, this is the least favorite law we could think about. We work hard during the day, hustling to keep our business on the road to success, and the last thing we want to do is sit down and update our records. If you are one of the few that actually enjoy doing that, consider yourself blessed. For the rest of us, let's be honest. Maintaining good records can be a battle, but it is a battle that is absolutely worth fighting for. The Bible states this very clearly in Luke chapter 14, verse 28 through 30, and this is our foundational statement for what we're doing. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, "This person began to build and he wasn't able to finish." That verse brings to light a string of fears that many of us have. The fear of not being able to finish what we started. Also, the fear of having to close our business because we ran out of money. And the fear of our families and neighbors seeing our business fail and in turn feeling like a failure ourselves. So embarrassing. But inside of that same verse, we get the solution. The antidote to all those fears is simple: taking a moment to sit down and keep good records. We've said it before, and it is worth saying again, good record keeping will save your business, will give you the ability to predict the future. They will never lie to you, and they can save you a lot of money in tax obligations. Good record keeping can be the very best thing that ever happened in your business. So where do we start? We start small. Nothing complicated. No fancy computer is needed. Everyone can do this. We start with a simple profit loss report. So what is a profit loss report? It reveals the total profit or loss for the business for a specific time period. Let me repeat that in slightly a different way. It is a written record that reveals the profit or the loss for the business for a specific time period. It must be written down. Simply said, it reveals where and when money is coming to you and when money is leaving you. This profit loss report is created every month to help you make adjustments throughout the year. Think of your time when you're driving a vehicle and you have a road and you want to stay in the middle of your lane on that road. Your steering wheel is adjusting, some slight adjustments. If you make the adjustment early, it's just a very minor adjustment. But if you don't make the adjustment at the right time, you could be almost in the ditch. You could almost crash. When you examine the profit loss report for the last 3 months, it gives you the ability to understand the profit and health of your business. I like to do what we call a rolling 3 months. In other words, if you start with January, February, and March, and then you go into April, then you roll off January, and you're doing February, March, and April, and so on. That way, you're very current on an average of the last 3 months. And there'll be ups and downs, so don't worry about that. If 1 month is really sharp one way or the other, be more concerned at what happens on that 3 month average. Examining multiple months together at a time also reveals random or rare spikes in revenue or expenses that should be considered further down the road. End of the year profit and loss reports give you a comprehensive insight of how well your business has performed for that year and what you can expect to do in future years. But don't wait to the end of the year. Do it monthly over the last 3 months so that you're not way off base. Let's be a little more specific about how you actually start keeping this profit and loss report. First of all, determine the span of time for your report. For most businesses, it's best to do a monthly report, but it's also very helpful to have a quarterly or annual report. It's easy to understand that your annual report is the sum of all those months for that year. But don't wait till the end of the year to finally do your report. Don't get behind. Getting behind is terrible because you really don't know what happened in those previous months. Next, make three separate ledgers. These are called spreadsheets or record-keeping tables, and one for each of the following categories, and record your business transactions. First of all, one of the ledgers would be your recording of revenue from sales, the money that you received when you sell your product and services. Each sale should have its own line on this ledger. And I found it easy to number each sale, like the first sale of the year is 1, and then 2, and then 3. And depending on the size of your business and how many transactions, you may have hundreds of sales, or you may have just a few, but put a number on each sale. I also found it easy to add the year so that I had the first sale of this year might be 001-23 because we're in 2023. And then next year, start over with 001-24 and so on. Now the next ledger, the next sheet of paper that's separate from the other is called the cost of goods sold. These are all the costs that are directly involved in the purchasing of a product or delivering a service. Include all of the materials or other direct costs. Include all the direct labor involved with your product or service. You must include any time or labor that you personally contributed to your product or service. Paying yourself what you would normally pay someone else to do that very same job you're doing. Without recording that labor, you have a very distorted view whether your business is really making a profit. And you can't work for free all your life because somebody has to pay the bills at the house. Now the third piece of paper, the third ledger, is what we call the operating expenses. This is all the costs that are specifically involved with producing your product or service and delivering that service to your customer. This is also called overhead. These are things that don't tie to one particular product or service, but more of an overhead item, and many times this is a monthly cost, like rent, or like paying the utility bills, like electricity, paying your water bill, paying your general heating or petroleum bill, paying for the internet. Those things come and have expenses whether you make a sale or not. Also, don't forget transportation. Sometimes you make a delivery and you forget to consider the amount of fuel and, more importantly, the amount of wear and tear on your vehicle. You have to replace that vehicle sometime. There could also be some labor that's not what we call the direct labor, but indirect labor, like maybe somebody that's doing your bookkeeping. Somebody cleans the warehouse or cleans the offices. Those are labor fees that are part of the overhead. At this point, you should have three ledgers, one for your total revenue, one for your cost of goods sold, and one sheet for your operating expenses, also known as overhead. Now let's talk about the revenue ledger. First of all, you would add down all of those numbers, whatever those amounts of money were in your currency, and you would come with a total for everything on that page or everything for that month. You would repeat that on each one of the pages for your cost of goods sold ledger and again on your general operating expense ledger. You have three sheets of paper or three ledgers, may take more than one page as time goes on, and you would add each one to come up with a financial numerical figure in your currency. Take those numbers and put them in this following equation. Your net income, which is your profit, equals your total revenue minus your cost of goods sold and minus your operating expenses. So you have one plus number and two subtraction or negative numbers. And when you add those together and subtract the right numbers, then you'll have your profit or loss. If you have a negative number, that's considered a loss. Earlier in this lesson, I mentioned the reality that these formulas are also valuable for a church or a nonprofit, and also valuable for your personal household. So let me discuss that a little further. In your personal household, we all would need some form of income. Many times that's your paycheck. Or you might add to your paycheck some type of alternate income, side income. And when that all comes in, that's your revenue. That's your income into your household. Ledger it, you probably know it, but that's how you keep track of it. On your expense ledger, you would naturally have those things like the cost of your housing, whether it's a house payment or your rent, the cost of a general budget for the food for your family, the cost of your utilities to stay in your house, the other important things for life. You would just list those as one heading of household expenses. On the third ledger, you might call it your wish list. The things you wish you could buy, add a little bit for extra entertainment, the things above and beyond your basic food, and now you're adding up the same equation. Your revenue is your income minus those things that are essential in your household, minus those things that are extra, not essential, and you'll see whether your bank account and your money in your household is going to be sufficient or not. Now, for a ministry or a church, it's virtually identical to the business because there's income coming in. Many times in a church, it's just the Sunday morning offering or occasional pledges from people, things that money comes in, a listing of those things that are basic to keep the doors open at your church or keeping your ministry doors open and working functionally. And it would be things like renting the building or paying for the building, the same things you might have in your household. There's some kind of utilities, phone service, salaries, of course, for key people. Your third list would be items that you are expending for growth and expansion. And those are a bit like a wish list, but they're very substantial because if you don't invest back into your congregation or invest back into your business or invest back into your household, you're going to find yourself very disappointed in life. Building a habit of good record keeping, both in your business, your household, and any ministry or nonprofit that you're connected with, can become the very best thing that ever happened to you if you let it work for you. Don't miss the next lesson as we go deeper and learn more on how to create a better understanding of good record keeping in all aspects. It's a simple and very powerful tool for you to have within your grasp.